Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. There is a lot going on in football and futsal in the ACT at the present time. The ACT futsal teams to contest the Nationals are now in training and preparing for the Nationals in early January. Training frequency will intensify as soon as the holidays commence. It's a good opportunity for the local coaches to get a few clues, so look up the training times for the age group you're interested in on the Capital Football website and go and watch the training. If you get a chance, take a day's leave and go and watch a few games at the Nationals. There are some good players and coaches at the Nationals, and it's a terrific opportunity to learn. Canberra United play Adelaide on Saturday at Deakin Stadium. Kick-off is at 5 p.m, a not-to-be-missed match. Canberra United have a win and two draws. The loss to Melbourne was a hard one. Instead of 3 points, we walked away with one. Two draws gets us 2 points, but we lose four. On a short competition, we simply must get the next 3 points from Adelaide. The National Training Centre Challenge, the NTC Challenge as it's called, is being held next week at the AIS. Again, this is a wonderful opportunity for community-level coaches to get out and see the 1-4-3-3 played by the very best at age. It's a wonderful coach education opportunity. The best 15 to 17-year-old boys in the nation are on display, as each state or territory academy or institute of sport fields a team. This is the cohort of boys who are aiming up on that first serious step towards a career in professional football. They have trained hard and long for this competition. Some will make it through to the AIS and some will be selected for Australian age representative teams. For many, this will be the last serious continuous football development they experience in their lives. Points are awarded for a team's technical performance as well as match result. This is a competition really worth a look at. You get to recalibrate your football compass around youth football to get a clearer understanding of the talent you possess within your club. Some of the talent is amazing. Just get there one day in your football education and enjoyment. The Summer 20s are trundling along, close to a finish, and the semis and the finals close to hand, done and dusted by Christmas. The Summer 20s promised so much at the end of last season. As a concept, it just hasn't come forward. And I hold Capital Football responsible in part for that, as I do those Premier League clubs that didn't field teams. For the clubs involved, it has been a useful opportunity to further develop players for next season in the off-season. I've spoken previously about the disappointment that many feel because all the Premier League clubs did not field a team in the competition. Capital Football entered the summer under-17 high-performance squad in the Summer 20s, and that's been a mixed blessing for all concerned. Few that are watching have concluded that it was a good idea. They are a young team with many players 15 and 16 years of age in the roster. That's a big jump to 20. They are well coached, but it is obvious that it's been difficult to find enough players to fill a match card some weeks. The reason appears simple enough. The Capital Football Summer under 17 lads are for the most part overmatched. The level of resistance is too high for many of them for this to be an experience that delivers good football development outcomes. It's not necessarily very good for the teams that play them. Last Sunday, the Capital Football team forfeited. No one was happy about that. This reflects very poorly on Capital Football. You're left to wonder, is it likely this young team will play out the remaining two games? It's a miserable outcome for the coach and his squad. Oh yes, and the canteen was not operating again. Look, frankly, it gives me no pleasure to say that from where I sit in the stands, this has not been a good outcome for Capital Football. This concept promised so much and has not been taken forward in the off-season and built up into something more substantial. And there's every reason to hold Capital Football responsible for that. Tonight's interview is with the ACTAS men's head coach, Mike Milanovic. Milo, as he's affectionately known in football circles. ACTAS is about to depart on its annual overseas football tour, this time to England and Holland. It is a fantastic itinerary with a game every second day. A fair dinkum football tour. The overseas tour is an integral part of the ACTAS program, planned 12 months in advance. This is usually followed by ACTAS participation in the FFA's NTC Challenge, which also is usually held in late January. Unfortunately, the FFA decided to move the goalposts and change the timing for the NTC Challenge in August this year, rescheduling it from January 2011 to December 2010. Far too late for ACTAS to withdraw from their overseas tour without heavy financial penalty. Now, the fact is, they will not lose anything in terms of development by going on the tour and playing the clubs they intend to play. One wishes that the FFA might have avoided this contingency. By agreement with the FFA, ACTAS will proceed on its tour and the NTC Challenge will go ahead without ACTAS. The ACTAS program will be adjusted for 2011, assuming, of course, that the FFA doesn't change the dates again. On return to Australia, the ACTAS squad will lose some of the players due to age and invite new players to join the squad. The process never stops. The question that worries us all is what can be done for those players too old for ACTAS, not accepted for the AIS, no spot in a youth league setup, and no further development opportunities in the ACT beyond the local Premier League club, which as a rule only trains twice a week. It worries the ACTAS coach. John Mitchell, the ANU coach, correctly described this in an interview with the Near Post Local as a tragic vacant space. And so it is. Let's get on with the interview. We're speaking to Mikko Milanovic, who is the head coach of the ACTAS men's football program, a prestigious position, in charge of a lot of good talent in the ACT and produces good results. And before Milo, as he's affectionately known, says anything, I'll remind the listener that the National Training Centre Challenge this year, early this year, saw ACTAS secure the number two spot, and probably only by a whisker, which is no mean feat when you look at all the other member federations that are stacked up against the ACT and the number of players they've got to choose from. Well, that's nice, and how are you going?
I'm going very well, actually. Thank you. Acclimatising in this cold and rain for our trip to the UK and Holland upcoming in the next few days.
Right. Well, that's a nice segue, mate, into our subject. Now, the ACTAS program includes a trip overseas. Terrific experience. I just again remind the listener that if your son is lucky enough to be selected in an ACTAS squad, they become immersed in a pretty serious football program. Lots of games, lots of quality technical training, and an overseas trip. Now, leading into this, how many games would your lads have played this season?
Well, part of our annual plan is to play approximately 42 to 44 matches per season.
Jeez, that's good.
Bearing in mind that our season is a literally 11-month season, so it's not like we're limited to a 5 or 6 month winter season or a 5 or 6 month summer season. No. So bearing that in mind, we strive to achieve approximately 42 to 44 meaningful matches against what I call real opposition, real opponents, not intra-club or intra-team matches, but actual what I call real opponents. So. Yeah. We will achieve that this year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's quite some effort. Anyone in local football will realise that stringing together that many games is nigh on impossible, really.
Locally it's difficult because of the structure of the sport within Canberra. But we kind of, I guess, we're always pointed at the National Training Centre programs, at the AIS program, at potential national team footballers and international footballers. And
yes.
Any of the guys who are fortunate enough to be in that elite level, I suppose, they're playing probably overseas. And they're playing 50 to 60 games a year. Even our A-League now has expanded and they've increased the number of A-League matches, and they're also talking about playing perhaps a National Cup competition, yes, all with a view of more matches, really, for the players.
Yeah, exactly so. Well, now, just to refresh the listener, the ACTAS squad is an age squad. The ages are between what?
Well, we're currently geared to provide potential players to the National Under-15, Under-16 and Under-17 men's national squads.
Yep.
So their current ages of our boys are 15, 16 and a couple of 17-year-olds. We will, after this tour, some of our lads, unfortunately, due to the age restrictions of our program,
yep,
will be no longer with our squad, when we'll be looking to bring in some younger ones. So that will mean for next next calendar year,
yes,
our squad will be 95, 96 born predominantly, and we may keep some 1994 born kids who are, who've been identified by the AIS or the under 20 or the under 17 national coach or 16 coaches, guys they want to keep in the program.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to make. If people wonder why there's a few outriders, a small number of outriders in terms of age. And that is because they're, unless you're handling them and continuing to prepare them, there really is no mechanism in our region for it to happen.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I've kind of had this theory for quite a while that, you know, our ACTAS boys are like basically 17 when they leave our program.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing about that this is a very fortunate thing, is that we've had the opportunity to work with them for a couple of years.
Yep.
They've had intensive training literally for 11 months of the year for a couple of years, and then we have to let them go. But with respect, there's no way for them to go at this current point in time in Canberra.
No, it's just the way it is at the moment, isn't it?
Well, it's a really sad one. And yeah, what's happened is that quite a number of the boys have actually ended up having to move into state to try and further their football careers. A few years ago, it was actually really, really ideal, because what we had was, after the ACT Academy of Sport program, if you were deemed to be good enough, you made the national squad program at the AIS. But then if you didn't, you had the Belconnen Blue Devils, who were in the New South Wales Premier League. So they had a youth league team.
Yep.
Then they had the New South Wales Premier League team. We also had a team called the Canberra Cosmos, and they had a national youth league team,
yep,
and a national league team. So there were several steps, if you like, for the really good players to go after they finished, if you like, part of their apprenticeship at the ACTAS program. But at the moment, I keep using the saying, we get them to the edge of the cliff and then we push them, but there's nowhere for them to go other than over. And
yeah,
You
make a very good point.
Yeah.
And in effect, you're saying we've lost a couple of layers to the cake here.
Oh, at least. I mean, I've been advocating for a few years now that we should probably have two ACT Academy of Sport programs, well, one program, but with two distinctively different focuses, if you like. One is the younger group that we have now, and then when they sort of transition from the younger group to then they transition to 17.5, 18.5, 19-year-olds, having two groups. So that group might play, for example, I don't know, maybe in the local Premier League or something, and have the younger one as they're playing in the Pathway League as we do now.
Yep.
At least that way we're giving the kids who have been identified as being the better ones more chance and more to stay in the game, more reason to stay in the game, because they can still see another pathway. Because if we're going to have a national league team here or a national youth league team here, we can't just expect 16 or 17-year-olds to fill that gap. You need players who are 17, 18, or like not even 17, but probably 19, 20, 21 playing in the youth league. And it's one of my ideas to keep more kids in the game and keep them more involved and give them more opportunity to develop, because male players tend to develop physiologically until around about 22, 23 years of age.
Yes, and that's obvious in just about every serious competitive sport, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, and that's just my point. Unfortunately, when they finish with us, we say see you later, bye-bye, but they've got literally not too many potential options or real potential options here in Canberra for them.
And Milo, the other thing that comes to mind there is having gone through a serious program for a couple of years where they've effectively had a 12-month periodised program under your each year under your program, you know, with the greatest respect to Premier League clubs, and I'm with one of them. That edge of the cliff you're talking about, I mean, it's, if you can't move forward, yeah, there's a real chance you're going to become disheartened when you go back to club level, I'm afraid.
Oh, look,
I don't mean that the wrong way, you know.
No, nor do I. I mean, it's a distinct possibility. I mean, I've asked some local clubs, how often do you train? Oh, twice a week. I said, why don't you train three or four times a week? And I really have never had a response that I thought was, okay, that makes sense. I mean, why don't we train more?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Why don't we play more games? At the end of the day, our local competitions, how many games do the guys play? 20 games a year, 18 games
18,
a year?
18, mate, and probably a few less now because we had one club pulled out.
Well, and that to me is something that is of serious concern. I mean, we probably spend more time in our pre-season than we do during our season.
Yep.
I don't know, but I'm just thinking the numbers. So
you're right.
It kind of, I don't know, to me, I would have thought if we wanted to play football, we'd be wanting to play more and more and more and train more and more and more. So,
well, we could find ourselves at agreement for hours here. now, this brings us nicely to I would think that the culmination of your calendar year program would be the overseas trip. Would that be right?
Oh, look, it's something that I when I first came to work at ACTAS, I thought, okay, well, what is our role? What are we trying to do? And I think one of the things we're trying to do is give players or select players with the potential who may be good enough to play international football or play at the elite level. And then to me, I said, well, okay, what is an integral part of that? And an integral part of that is the ability and the experience to travel as a footballer first and to play overseas. Yeah. So I thought, okay, well, how can I bring that to the ACTAS program? And then I said, okay, well, let's organise some tours. And we've actually been to Asia on several occasions. And now with the Dutch influence, we've decided to try and get across to the to Europe as well. And it's only for that reason that we go. It's just I say, okay, well, if I'm going to prepare Billy Bloggs to play for Australia, what does he need? He needs to go on several tours to give the experience of travelling internationally. I mean, it's quite interesting because on the first tour, most of the kids are like, they're tourists, because they are. I mean, they've never been overseas to play football. It's so, I mean, we've got them in even in this group. Yeah. Their eyes are all, they're huge, like big lollipops, and they're going, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. Whereas the ones that are going on their third and fourth tour with us, which some of them are, it doesn't matter where we're going. We could be going to, I don't know, Iceland or Greenland or wherever. It doesn't matter to them because they're going to play football, and there's a significant difference.
And you're developing more than the footballer there, mate.
Oh, look,
you're developing the citizen. You know,
we're developing a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, that's sort of how we started this international component of our program, and I think it's a vital one. Yeah. Very interesting enough, the guys that toured with us last year, I think they're nearly all coming again to Europe again. It is an expensive exercise, but that there in itself shows that the value that they and their families and their parents perceive of these types of adventures.
Oh yeah, I would think so.
And to be very honest, it's something that we put to the parents early every year. Say, look, this is the potential tour towards the end of the year. This is what it's going to cost. Are you interested? And if the parents say no, then we don't go because we just physically don't have the funding to do that.
Yep.
That's all self-funded by the people travelling.
Yeah.
You know, the families need a huge, huge, huge pat on the back from their kids and a big kiss and cuddle.
Yeah.
They're the ones that pay for their kids to go.
That's fantastic, mate. Look, could I just ask you, without being rude, in round terms, what does it cost to mount one of those tours per player?
Oh, look, you're looking at approximately $5,000 to $5,500, depending on what you want to do and where you want to go. I mean, we're going to Europe now, and to be honest, it's a good time to go, one, because it's cheaper, because it's winter over there, but also, two, because all the European leagues are in the middle of their season, so to speak. So you're kind of involved. You get over there and you get involved with the newspapers and the TVs and football everywhere. So you get immersed in it. I mean, we're actually going to be very privileged. We've got the opportunity in London. We're going to watch Arsenal play a European Champions League game. Then we're going to go watch some Premier League matches, and then we're going to go watch some Championship matches. So I'm trying to give the kids a quite, if you like, wide spectrum of football. Then we're also going to go to a non-league club and play a non-league club and then go to their training facility.
Mate, do you need anyone to carry the bags?
Yeah, we get asked that a bit. And then
imagine.
We're going over to Holland to play some of their teams. We were over there last year, and we've been invited back to all of them. So they think, obviously, we can play a bit, and we're good people to have. So, look, it's a very, very much a football tour. But we also do a little, we go and do it. We've taken some of the sites. When you're in cities like London, you have to go and take in some of the sites. But look, it's a very intense two-week period.
2 weeks, eh? How many games in the 2 weeks?
We're looking to play possibly 7 games.
Whoa, gee, that's pretty good.
Well, it's pretty
these are full games, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, we're playing, I think in England, off the top of my head, we've got Watford, Reading, Fulham, and I'm not sure, a couple of one other, and then we have a non-league team. Then we're going over to Holland to play some games in Holland. So we basically play every second day. We're there. We go over there for a serious football tour. So if we're not playing, we'll hardly do any training. If we're not playing, we're either going to a stadium, we're going to watch a youth academy train somewhere, or we're going to watch a game in somewhere at the lower leagues, or we're doing some video editing about our game. We're video editing, you know, Arsenal play or Man United play. So it's pretty full on. But, you know, my take is, well, if the parents are paying $5,500, I've got to make sure they get value for their $5,500. Football value. And
and as you say, it's a football tour. It's an integral part of the program.
It's got
to have a football focus.
And look, and if we get one or two or three every couple of years going through to play for Australia at any level, then we're doing a damn good job.
Oh, I think that's sensational.
We're doing a damn good job because...
What sort of support staff do you need to take to... keep that going?
Well, we always take a physiotherapist with us.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd like to take a sports doctor, but that's just not, unfortunately, just not doable due to the, you know, budget restraints and the costing. So there's myself, there's my Lino Fiorage, who's our assistant coach, who'll travel. We have a head of delegation, and we also have a physio. So.
Oh, good, okay.
And we've actually got some parents coming along as well. So
that's sensational.
Yeah.
Now, that's the tour. So these young fellas come back bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, having played their backside off overseas.
Yeah.
You'll get some changes in your roster for the next calendar year, 2011.
That's correct.
One of the things that you're acutely aware of, but the listener may not be, the National Training Centre Challenge, which was usually held in early January, is usually early in the year, which you were so successful at this year, has now been rescheduled and brought forward, and regrettably clashes with your overseas trip.
Well, yeah, I mean, the last few years, that NTC challenge has always been held towards the end of January.
That's it, yeah.
And we've participated in that, but we actually, we started making our plans early in February for this overseas tour, and we got deposits in, and deposits were paid, et cetera, and then roughly halfway, so July-ish or something of this year. August, I got a contact by FFA saying, oh, we've got the NTC challenge in December this year. I said, oh, what date? They said, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I'm sorry, but we've committed to go to overseas and deposits are paid and the money's in and, you know, can't refund this, we can't refund that. So I'm terribly sorry.
Your plans are set.
Well, they were. I mean, I would have loved to have gone to the NTC challenge because I think we would have given it a very good shake again.
You know, at club level, I said, look, I know you can't always get to the National Youth Challenge. I said, but, you know, if you're really serious about getting yourself informed, at some point you might need to take a couple of days off. You wouldn't need any more.
Yeah.
And just go and watch.
Exactly.
And any given year, this will recalibrate your football compass.
Yeah, that's so true.
And, you know, and if you don't, then you're in the realm of guessing.
Fantasizing, to be honest.
It is fantasizing.
It's fantasizing. I mean, every kid wants their kid to be Harry Kuehl or Timmy Cahill, but the reality is, every parent, I should say, but the reality is that they're not. There are certainly a lot of pluses going to the NTC Challenge and participating in that, but there are also an enormous number of pluses in doing what we're going to do. So what I can now confirm after this NTC Challenge is what FFA's dates are for the next one, and then if they're going to be in December, then I'll try and plan our next tour for late January next year while the kids are still at school. Whilst the kids are still on holidays before they go back to school.
Yep.
So I'll have to, once I get an indication from FFA, then we'll make our plans around that.
How much notice did they give you of the change? I mean, when did they decide to change their plan?
Well, I think it was around August, July or August that they contacted me. I said, well, I'm sorry, but...
Oh, no, you're locked in well and truly.
Parents and families have invested significant sums here, and I just can't... And to be fair, FFA were... Okay, sorry, no problem. They were very understanding. The kids are going to benefit anyway, so...
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, you're well connected. You've got a serious coaching role at the FFA level too, haven't you? So, you'd be the best judge here. The players are still able to showcase themselves.
Oh, look, exactly. And we also have a very unique advantage here, being in the ACT, that the AIS coaches are just a few minutes away.
Yeah.
So is their training facility. So I'm in fairly regular contact with them, and we talk about how players are going and how... Look, I'm sure that no ACT kids will be disadvantaged by going by going overseas on this tour and not participating at the NCC Challenge.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm lingering on that, Milo, is to make sure the listener understands that this has been carefully thought out, and as you say, it's the luck of where we're located that these young fellas under your charge probably get the eye run over them a good deal more than most.
Yeah, exactly, and also people need to understand that the AIF coaches were at the National Championships in Coffs Harbour in early October this year, December, early October. So the AIF coaches have run their eye, or coach, I'm not sure how many of them attended, but they've already run their eye over the talent from Australia-wide, including the ACT players.
Yep.
So they have already seen the ACT players in action at that level. And, you know, as I say, we're not disadvantaged in any way, shape or form. If we were living, to be honest, we've actually got a huge number of advantages being here so close to the AIS program. We can make some phone calls and either our kids can attend their training sessions or the coaches can attend ours and look at the kids. So, whereas you can't, it's very difficult to do that if you're not living in Canberra.
Well, exactly right.
Yeah, so.
Now, in 2011, you're stumping up again for the PPL competition here?
I think that the Premier Pathway League competition is an appropriate competition for the ACTAS group to play in. I think we're going to find it very tough in that competition next year because we are going to have a significant turnover in players due to the age restriction again.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to go substantially younger. So I think we'll find it very tough next year.
Yeah.
That's okay. I mean, I think what we look to try and achieve is give them the opportunity where they to play in a meaningful competition for points, because that's what you do in real football.
Yeah.
But where you have the opportunity to win some games, you might draw some games, you might lose some, but to be competitive. I mean, to me, it's kind of pointless to be at a level or playing at a level where you're getting smacked 8 or 9 nil every week, or you're winning 8 or 9 nil every week. I just don't think that's meaningful. But to be our boys to be competitive in that league, and I think we'll be competitive. I don't think we'll be as strong as we were this year, simply because we're going to go, you know, another 12 months, 18 months younger with a lot of the players that we're going to bring in. So,
and you obviously won't see the benefit of that until the following year.
The second year, exactly. But look, I'm sure we'll still be competitive. I mean, we're going to be asking boys who have played in this year's Capital Football Under 14s, who played in the Under 16 boys competition, to go and play in an under 20 competition against overage players. So it's a significantly huge ask. We'll find it tough, but we'll be okay. We'll manage.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Your teams play well. They play real well. Now, look, can we just close on this note? If you had a bit of advice for the parents of these young lads who are prospective ACTAS squad members, what sort of bit of a sage-like advice would you give them going forward? The ones that are likely to join your program as opposed to the ones that are already there.
Well, that's a really interesting question, advice. Look, I think we all want the best for our kids. We all want them to achieve whatever they want to achieve in life. But reality is that, if the boys want to pursue a career in football, I call it the most popular profession in the world because literally any boy from anywhere in the world, and soccer's the most popular sport by a mile worldwide, can play as a professional. It's the top, I don't know, 0.5% or the 1% that actually get through to really make it at a really, really good level.
Yeah.
I think we have to be realistic. I mean, we all want our kids to play, for Manchester United or Arsenal, Chelsea or Barcelona, but reality is that hardly any Australians have ever done that.
That's true.
Reality is. And the reality is that if we look back over the history books, how many players from the ACT have actually played for a full national team in the last, 10 or 15 years?
Well, there's another good point.
Well, I mean, I know the answer, but I also think we kind of sometimes, because we live in a beautiful place, and we sometimes kind of forget that we are a small fish in the big pond of Australia. There are lots of good players in Australia.
Yeah, there are.
But having said that, I mean, not everybody, as I said, will play for those top clubs, but the kids can still go on and make a very good living playing, in some of the other countries in Europe and even the lower leagues of Europe, of the UK. The other thing I would say is that just because a kid doesn't get picked for ACTAS or for the AIS at age 14, 15 or 16 or 17 doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good player. I mean, or go on and be really, really successful. I mean, case in point is a guy called Tim Cahill. Yeah. Tim Cahill was missed in Sydney by all the representative programs, the institutes. He was missed by the youth team coaches. He was missed by everybody. But in the end, Tim Cahill's arguably our best player in the in Australia now.
And when you put it that way, it seems almost impossible to believe, doesn't it?
Well, yes and no.
But yes, it is. Yeah.
But players develop at different rates.
True.
And all it needs is somebody to like you and work with you and give you an opportunity. But the good thing about all of that is that Australian footballers are very, very wanted in Europe because they are.
Yep.
Because people want it. They love our attitude. They love our work ethic. They love our honesty in the game. And look, advice is provide as many opportunities as you possibly can for your son or daughter, because if they're good enough, there's a very good chance that they'll actually get through and achieve what they want to achieve.
Yeah, sounds like good advice to me, mate.
Yeah.
Sounds like very good advice. Listen, all the best on your tour overseas, and look forward to seeing your team's campaign next season, and we'll hopefully catch up before then and get a bit of a rundown on what you saw over there.
Yeah, look, that'd be great. I mean, as I said, we'd like to play in the Premier Pathway League again next year, and hopefully we'll be able to implement that through Capital Football. But there's a lot ahead of us, and when you run a 12-month year program, there's always something to do.
Isn't there ever?
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Milo. Good luck.
Hey, lovely talking to you, and all the best, and all the best for the festive season.
Thank okay, you. Same to you, mate.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.